and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, step right up. Behind this curtain lies a ghastly concoction of delight, horror, fantasy, and terror. Your every wish is our command, your every whimsical desire brought to life. But I'm warning you, there's always a price. Welcome to the greatest show on earth!
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the Kurt and Jeff Show. I'm Kurt, and like normal on these split episodes, Jeff isn't here. I'm just recording a brief intro. We're going to pick up. This is going to be the final chapter of the Andy years of my life. A lot of fun stuff on here. Me and Andy hanging out, doing some weird shit like normal. Hope you guys enjoy it. See you later. Now this time when I move in, I have a couple of stipulations. One, I had just got my van painted. It was supposed to be like a Christmas color red, almost like that vase you got over there. It's supposed to look like that. All shiny and shit. I gave them the paint. I had these Mexicans do it. They mixed all the paint together. They didn't follow the directions. It came out a shit brown color. And in the sunlight, it would change this like brown orange color. And then I had this glow-in-the-dark clear coat that they sprayed on it. So if you sat on like a street light and then drove off, the car would glow in the dark, the whole clock car.
Okay.
So, and it had spinners on it and everything. It's all decked out, skulls all over. So my first stipulation was we got a one-car garage. My car's going in the garage. We're living in South Bend. You know, it's nigger town. You know, can't see Crackerville at all. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we're downtown.
Really?
Yeah.
You just dropped the N-word?
Yeah. I added a ville to the end or whatever.
They just made a guy sell a basketball team for being racist, and he never even said black or the N-word. But he was still racist.
So now we got to sell our podcast?
We might. They might make us sell our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But cause fucking riots and shit. Use the N-word. That cornbread redneck hillbilly motherfucker used the N-word. Yeah, like you didn't just use racist shit, you motherfucker.
Uh-huh. So that was my first stipulation. I said, I get the garage. That was a little fight because Andy had a car and he didn't want to, you know, he's picky. And it was even the garage wasn't attached. So I still had to park in the garage. I still had to walk outside to get to the house. But I wanted it in the garage. So they said I could have that. The second was that my bedroom door had a lock on it. I was like, I don't want nobody in my bedroom. All my shit's going to my bedroom. I'm going to lock the door.
You just want to cut whacking off.
Yeah, most part. So, no problem with that. I had a lock on my bedroom door.
Want my jack off privacy.
Mm-hmm. So we all move in, and it goes well for the first couple of months. You know, I'm paying my bills and stuff. Everybody's chipping in, helping out. If Andy didn't have the money to pay the bills, he was fucking Carrie Ann. There was a couple of times. Now, Carrie Ann was hot. She was fucking good looking. And there was a couple of times he paid rent by fucking her. He would bring her over and, like, you know, let's fuck. And he'd fuck. And he's like, well, we're a couple hundred dollars short on rent. Oh, that's okay. And he's like, I'll go out and get groceries, too. I'm staying a couple of days. And she'd stay a couple of days and fuck him. Buy groceries and shit for the house. And then she'd leave. So, hey, yeah, no problem. Go for it, you know. I didn't mind. I didn't mind watching that shit either. She was good looking. Andy's pulled some good looking chicks. So after a while, I was like, you know, you need to talk to Karen. Do you think she'd mind if we have a dog? And it's got Andy excited. He's like, yeah, I want a dog. So, you know, we start looking around. Carrie Ann said, that's fine, you know, as long as you clean up after him and all this stuff. Don't let him chew on nothing. So we're looking around. We're trying to find dogs and stuff. And you've looked for dogs lately. The dogs ain't fucking cheap. That shit's expensive. Even the fucking pound and stuff, when they're just going to melt those fuckers down, you know, they want $80, $90 a dog. Puppies are like $125.
Yep.
And we wanted a puppy.
I got a military discount.
Yeah. And
a veteran discount.
Fuck you. But we settled. We were like, we want a black lab. That's what we wanted. So we're looking around. We found some. They had the black lab puppies over in South Bend. And we went up there and we looked at them a couple of times. And we went to all the other pounds around. They were like lab pit bull mix. And we go in there and we walked in there finally. We waited a couple of weeks. We go back over there. I'm like, okay, they make you sign in when you go in. So I've been thinking the whole time. I was like, you know, you got to go up on the second floor to do it. When I walked in, I just scribbled my name. Just scribbled. Didn't even write a name. Went up on the third floor. I told Annie, I started looking around like, there's nobody up here. I was like, here's the keys. You go get in the van. Say you're going to smoke or whatever. Get in the van. Pull it around here to the street. As soon as I see you get to the street, I'm going to grab that dog out of the cage. I'm going to hit this fire exit, run down the fire escape, hop in the car, and we'll take off.
This is when you stole the puppy.
Stole the dog. Andy goes out there. He's like, okay. He's like, you ain't got the balls. You ain't got the balls. I was like, watch me. So he goes, gets in the car, pulls it up there. I'm looking out the window. As soon as I see him, I pop open the dog cage, grab the puppy out of the cage. She was a female, Nita. Hit that door. Alarm starts going off for the fire alarm. I hit that fire escape, and I'm running down the fire escape. You know, you got to go down three floors. Hop in the van. Take off. We got us a free dog. So we get back to the place. It's a little Nita. You know, we call it from Anita Blake, the Vampire Hunter series.
Right.
And you know, Andy had something in the first night. He wasn't home. So I kept her the first night, feeding her and all that stuff, and taking her out for walks and all that stuff. And she kind of got bonded to me. Well, it's like two nights later or whatever, and Andy comes in. He's like, you know, I want her to sleep with me some too. You know, it's going to be our dog. We got to, you know, I want her, you know, I want part of her responsibility. No problem. I give him the dog. He takes in there, sits her on the bed. As soon as he sits her on his bed, she pisses all over his bed. He brings me here. She already pissed on my bed. And then, see, now we had made an agreement when we got the dog. We were like, we're going to split everything right down the middle. All vet bills, food, anything like that, we'll split right down the middle. That's fine. I was like, and what I'm going to do is I'll pay for whatever she needs. I'm just going to take that of what rent I give you each month. This went okay for like the first couple of months, but you know, puppies are expensive. You know, they got to go in every couple of weeks, you know, right off the bat to get all their shots and dewormed and all that stuff. That stuff adds up real quick right away when you first get them. So, you know, first couple of months, I'm taking the money out of the rent, giving it to him. Well, he starts getting mad about it. And he's like, well, you can't be, I can't be paying all the time. He's like, you can wait on the bill. You know, don't get the shot right now. Wait a couple of months and then get it. I'm like, no, dog comes first. You take, you know, even my dog now, she is up to date. He is up to date on every shot, everything in the book. You take care of them. It's your responsibility, just like a kid. Mm-hmm. So I made sure everything was done on that dog. And that dog loved me. I mean, it would fight over... If I'd buy a hamburger from, like, McDonald's, I would have to give her the pickles, or she would try to take the whole hamburger away from me. If I gave her the pickles, she was fine. She'd eat watermelon with me, all that stuff. I mean, it was a great dog. And, like I said, we had her up until I moved out. The reason I had to move out of that place, my mom had a stroke. We had actually been ghost hunting and stuff, and we had went to Waverly Hills Sanitarium down in Louisville. Mm-hmm. And we were down there doing an overnighter, and we had already went to the sanitarium, and it was the next day we got back, and I had checked my email, and we're going to stay that night too and go back the following day. It was a whole weekend thing. We're staying two nights, and I got a text from our email from my brother saying I needed to call him. My mom had just had a stroke. So, you know, I call him up, and I'm on the phone talking to him. I was like, you know, hey, do I need to come back? What's going on? Do we have to go down to Alabama? She was in Alabama when it happened. They were on vacation. And he's like, no, not right now. Well, got fucking April in the background. Well, we're not leaving till tomorrow, so, you know, you're just going to have to wait. Because I drove down with them. I had gotten a car wreck, and my van had been totaled. The Ship Brown van. And so I went down with April. So she said, we're not leaving till tomorrow. I was like, fuck you. If my mom's fucking has a stroke, I'm leaving. One way or another, I'm getting home. If I got to, you know,
right.
Hitchhike. So, luckily enough, like I said, they said it was fine. Don't worry about it. Just wait. But when I moved out of there and moved back into my dad's house with my mom and everything going on, we had to get rid of Anita. Andy didn't want her, couldn't take her, so I ended up having to take her to the pound and give it to them. And when I take her into the pound, I call them, like, will you take her? And they're like, yeah, we'll take her. I get her in there, and they're like, oh, she's got pit in her. We got to charge you $40 to take her. I'm like, fuck you. Like, I can take her down here to Bethel College and let her go, and you go over there and have to catch her ass. And then you're going to take her anyway.
Right.
You know? So jumping back just a little bit, I'm still living with Andy and them over there. Like I said, we got Nick in the basement. Now, Nick we never saw. He lived in the basement. He came up, you know, he'd go to work, come home, that's it. And he would download. He had Napster at the time, and he would load up Napster. I mean, our bandwidth over there sucked. We couldn't play EverQuest. Everything would be laggy because he's downloading 24/7. So we go over there one night and we got Todd over and we're all hanging out. Well, I had ordered a stun gun off the internet. So, okay, it's Todd over there. Fucking, I want to go test my stun gun out. So we go in there and Todd's standing in Andy's room. I walk in. I was like, hey, check out what I got. And I toss the box over to Andy. And he's looking at it. He's like, stun gun? I was like, yeah, look at that, man. 400,000 volts. I got the stun gun on my arm. He's like, wow, that's a lot. I look over at Todd, put it right to his arm, shocks his ass, blast him back up on the bed. He was flying back up on the bed. The motherfucker. He rubbing his arm and shit. Well, I went for him to get up again. We're talking about it. I was like, yeah. And he starts get up. He puts his hand on Andy's computer chair to pull himself up off the bed. I brought on his leg against stun gun. He grabbed Andy. He's like, oh, shit, I can feel it through him. So stun gun him both off. I'm like, let's make him piss. I was like, and I kept stun gunning him. He's like, Andy's like, stop, stop, stop. I was like, no, not till he pisses. Like, and Andy's yelling, not on my bed, not on my bed.
You're down worse on that bed, Andy.
I know. So, yeah, and Nick's there too. Nick, they've all been drinking. And Nick's up there, we're laughing, having a good time, you know, fuck Todd. So, you know, I'd stunned him two or three times or something, we'd stopped it. Well, Nick's like, let me see the stun gun. So I show him the stun gun. Well, then he tries to stun gun me. I was like, oh, fuck, no, you ain't getting me. I was like, I smacked it out of his hand. I was like, no, you're not doing that. Well, he grabs it again, and he's messing around. I go in my bedroom, I lock my door. And the one thing with Todd, Todd's a fucking thief. He can pick a fucking lock. It's not a minute later, my door opens up, and here comes Nick running in the room with a stun gun, trying to stun gun me again. And he's drunk.
That's a good way to get hacked up with a sword or hit in the head with
That's
a mace.
That's what we're getting to. So,
I got both laying around in here.
So, yeah, I jump out, I shove my desk, my computer chair at him, trip him up some, get out of the way, I grab my ninja sword. Me and Andy both got Highlander ninja swords. And they're cheap rip-off ones from, you know, I got an actual one from Mako Spain, the actual fucking $600 one. But these are just little cheap knockoff ones. Right. So I grab my sword, I'm like, get the fuck back, it's like, I'm gonna stab you, bitch. He goes in the Andy room, gets Andy's ninja sword, and we go in there and we're going at it, you know, fucking Highlander style and shit. Fucking around. Well, I go in the living room then. And I sit down, I throw up my sword next to him. I was like, don't fucking start with me, Nick. And I'm told him, I was like, I'm dead fucking serious. Leave me the fuck alone. You're not going to stun gun me. Well, he goes in the room. Andy's like, dude, you better listen to him. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Nick comes back out, and he's got the stun gun. I'm sitting on the floor, and he's sitting on the floor. Just a second. He's showing me Facebook stuff. But I'm sitting on the floor, and I got my sword in my hand. And he's sitting on the floor, and he tries to slide the stun gun across the floor to stun gun me in the leg. I whip my sword across his arm, and I take the hair off his arm. I'm not joking. There's a bald spot across the top of his arm. And I was like, dude, I can't get any closer than that. Leave me the fuck alone. He goes back and shows it to Andy. He's like, dude, he's going to fuck you up. Give me the stun gun. So Andy takes the stun gun. Well, I don't know Andy takes it. So he comes back up out of Andy's room. He's got both his hands behind his back. He starts walking up to me. He's like, what hands it in? What hands it in? He's got the TV remote in one hand. I don't know it. So he brings out his left hand like he's got the stun gun. Then he brings out the right hand with the TV remote. I lunge at him, stab the sword right through his thigh. Twist it. I push him all the way back up against the wall. I mean, I take him back like 3 or 4 feet. Andy just walks in the room as he sees me stab the dude and push him up to the wall and twist. Andy's like, what the fuck? I pull the sword out. I mean, it went in like that far into his leg. Like 3 inches. And the dude, I mean, the dude's psycho, he's sticking his finger in his leg, like, dude, that's deep. I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna have to kill this motherfucker. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, I gotta kill this fucker.
Well, it's not like he didn't get fucking ample warning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna cut you if you don't stop it.
I took the hair off his arm.
If you don't stop
it. You know?
I just shaved your arm. Stop.
He drops his pants, got his boxer on me, he's sticking his finger in his leg. I mean, his finger's going into the second knuckle. You know, it's deep and blood's pouring. So Andy's like, don't get it on the floor, don't get it on the floor. And we take a bunch of napkins and put around it and we're wrapping duct tape.
Just put a fucking sword 3 inches in. Don't get blood on the floor.
See, he wraps it up in duct tape and napkins. And he's like, I think I got to go to the hospital. I mean, it's bleeding through the napkins and everything. Because, I mean, I twisted it when it was in there. So Andy's like, well, I'll take him to the hospital. Then he yells at me and Todd to clean the shit up, get everything picked up. So he leaves. So, Todd's drunk out of his mind. I'm like, dude, he's gonna come back and beat my ass. I was like, he's drunk right now, but I mean, that it had to fucking hurt. So I told Ty, I was like, I'm going to bed. I was like, yeah, I'm sleeping with my sword. Fuck him. I was like, let me know if you hear him. So I'm laying in there. It's about a half hour, 45 minutes later. I hear my doorknob start, it's jiggling. What the fuck? So I put my hand down inside the bed and grab my sword. All of a sudden, the door flies open. Todd comes running. I'm up out of the bed. I got the sword drawn back, ready to go at him. What the fuck you want? Dude, I didn't want to wake you up. I just need to get, something off your computer or whatever it was. I was like, dude, don't fucking come in my room without knocking and letting me know. So, whatever. He shuts the door, goes out again. I'm laying there. I can't sleep. It's about 4 hours later. I hear the front door open. I'm like, oh, fuck, they're back. So, he helps Nick downstairs. I hear him helping him downstairs. He's like, and now Nick's room was right below my room. And there was an air vent that went into my wall. And I could hear anything going on in Nick's room. So I hear Andy tell me, I'm going to go up there and check on Kurt and Todd and stuff. I'll be back. Give me a couple minutes. He goes upstairs. And I hear a corner there. He knocks on my bedroom door. So I open the door. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, where the fuck's Todd at? I don't know. I thought he was sleeping in your room or something, or in the living room. So now we got to go on a hunt for Todd. We start going through the house, underneath beds. I'm like, hey, he didn't leave, did he? It's like, I hadn't been asleep. I don't know where the fuck he is.
Right.
Down in the basement, like Chronicles of Narnia, they got the big wardrobe thing down there. We had one of those in our basement. Todd is curled up inside this wardrobe with knives duct taped to his hand, sleeping, passed out. We open the door. And we're able to actually grab Todd. We grab him by the hand with the knives. He wakes up, grabs us, trying to stab. What the fuck, dude? We're like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I didn't even want to be surprised. Stupid fucker.
You didn't just reach in there and fucking tased him again. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have stabbed yet. He'd have been flopping all over.
Okay, we're back. Had to pause real quick. So anyway, we get Todd to get him out of the wardrobe thing. And I ask Andy, I was like,
I got a bottle of rum, tequila, and vodka. We want to make this interesting.
Hey, I'm game. I ain't picky at all. So,
I got shit to do. I can't get drunk. We can get drunk later.
So I ask Andy, I was like, so what happened? What happened at the hospital?
He's like, future broadcast, podcast, we're going to be drinking through
mm-hmm. We have to. Maybe in the fall time we'll do something there.
It's state law, look something. It up. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'll make some of that cider.
Fuck yeah.
We'll get all fucked up.
So okay, I asked, story. Yeah, I asked him, I was like, what's going on? What happened at the hospital and all this? They're like, well, he went in and he told him that he fell on a fence. He was trying to hop a fence and he fell down. And he's like, they didn't buy it. They said that's not a fence thing, but they didn't question him too much. Because I thought he'd call the cops, everything else. Because, if you get a stab wound, you're supposed to call the cops and report it. But he's like, no cops were involved or anything. But he's like, he told him that he fell on a fence. And he's like, it was like $600. They had to put like six or seven stitches to close it up. They had to do it on the inside and the outside. Like, oh, that sucks to be him. I was like, maybe you'll learn. Like, well, I'm going back to bed. So I go back up there and I go in my room. I shut the door. I'm sitting there listening at the air vent. And, he goes back in. He's like, yeah, we found Todd. He's sleeping out there. He's talking about, what was going on. So Nick's like, that fucking fat ass still here? He's like, yeah, he's still here. He's back upstairs in bed. He went to bed. He's like, is he going to help me? You think he's going to help me pay the doctor bills? And he's like, fuck no. He told you not to do it. He said he warned you 2 or 3 times, and I've told you that. I was like, he ain't going to help you do shit. And he's like, fuck it. That's a lot of money. He's like, I'm going to go kick his ass. I'm going to go beat the fuck out of him. And he's like, go for it. He's like, you can do it. I can guarantee you probably beat the fuck out of him. But I can also guarantee you that the minute you come back down here and go to sleep, he will grab that sword, come down here and stab you a second time. It's like, I know Kurt. And you hear Nick sit back down on the bed. He's like, fuck, you're probably right. I'm just going to leave him alone. So, yeah, like I said, I stabbed a man.
I've been stabbed.
I've never been stabbed.
Oh, we were, when I was in the Navy,
mm-hmm.
I was on watch for the Lee Helm. Mm-hmm. And that's the guy that has the handles and cranks them down and forward, rings the bells down to the boiler room, tells them what speed to go. Mm-hmm. We were messing around up there. We had our knives out because, men do stupid things when you leave them alone together. And my one buddy, he had a what's called a bosun spike on it. When you pop it open, it's just a big round spike. And what a bosun spike does is bosun mates no knots. A bunch of knots. I was caught a bunch of knots, all this shit. And you would use that bosun spike to go down into the lines. Like a standard rope has three ties to go around it. That bosun spike, you would insert that down in one of those ties and pry it open. Then you could run the line through there and tie it through there to make an eye or whatever. Basically, what it was used is to pry it into different sizes line to pry holes open, that kind of stuff. Well, for whatever reason, asshole sharpened it. It's a spike. It comes to a point, but it's usually a pretty dull point. I don't know why he decided he wanted to sharpen it into something sharp. So we're fucking around with it, and I'm sitting there, and he's poking me with it. Like, fucker, knock it off. I'm going to cut you. And he kept fucking poking me, so I pulled mine out, had it down by my side. He didn't see me come up there. And I fucking whipped it across his fucking, his dungaree shirt, his blue shirt that he had over his t-shirt that we wore for a watch. It was his dress shirt. Just put a big slice right across the stomach on that thing. He gets all pissed off. I'm like, fucker, I told you quit or I'm going to slice you. So he takes it and he fucking slams it down and jams that bosun spike all the way down. Not all the way through. Pushed the skin on the other side, but all the way in there. So when he popped it out, we're not talking red blood. We're talking deep ruby red shit just gushing out all over the place. Oh, shit, man, I'm sorry. Like, you best step away from me right now or I will fucking slit your throat. Now you need to relieve me on here so I can go to medical because this is going to get stitches. And sure enough, went down there. I got like six stitches to cover up the hole. And it was, it was three cross stitches. So it ended up being six stitches where they have the stitches across each other. Because, I mean, it was probably a little bigger than a quarter inch, a little less than a half inch diameter. It hurt. And he paid for that so bad later. That hole. And I still have the scar. Barely see it now, but you can see where it went in there. And just, I mean, it went all the way through the meat. It wasn't like stretching the muscle. It went right through and almost punctured all the way through. Oh, you cut my shirt. I got stitches, fucker.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, not even in the same fucking league.
I know we were sitting over there one time. We were living together, me, Andy, and Nick, and then me and Andy sitting in the living room. We got the dog between us, and we're laying there watching. We had no furniture in there. We had like a TV on like milk crates and shit. We're watching the movie. Nick comes walking in. All the lights are out, and he's drinking his beer like normal. Fuck you guys up to us watching a movie. You want to watch it? I don't know. What is it? Brokeback Mountain? What's it about? A couple of gay guys up on a mountain fucking. See you guys later. Downstairs. Me and Andy's laying the floor in the dark with the dog watching the Brokeback.
Oh shit. Never watched it, never will.
Listen, Andy, he didn't mind all the ass fucking, none of that stuff. He was fine with all that. But when they fucking monster kissed, I mean, he grabbed fucking Jake Gyllenhaal and slams up against the wall and they're fucking tongue down his throat, monster kissing. Andy's like damn near puking over that. Like, he didn't care the dude put his dick in his ass, but a man kisses a man, you get freaked out. Like, what the fuck is up with that? He's told me before, he's like, I'll suck a dude's dick, but I won't kiss him. But, okay, man.
What? You know,
his offering or what, but yeah. So he'd rather suck a dude's dick than cuss a man.
Oh, this will come back to haunt him later. Just because you suck my dick doesn't make me gay.
Yeah, you know.
There's our anti-gay slur for the day. See, we've knocked out the blacks, we've knocked out the gays. Who's next?
Sand niggers?
You hit them up earlier in the week. See, we're... you can't call us racist because we nail everybody.
Yeah, we don't really give a fuck. Even the white people, white hillbilly motherfuckers.
You know, yeah, you call us cornbread redneck fuckers, and trust us, yeah, you know, you're trying to be offensive. It's not.
No, we don't care.
And Cracker doesn't offend us either.
Oh.
Actually, it's kind of funny. I'm a half-breed, so I'm more like a wheat thin or a Triscuit.
Yeah, you're a Ritz.
Oh, hell no. No.
I just somebody just called me, he called me a cracker or something. I was like, yeah, you're a Ritz motherfucker. He's a black guy. I was like, yeah, you're a Ritz motherfucker. He looks at me, he's like, what the fuck? I can't say shit to that. Oh, no, I called him a cracker back. He's like, I'm not a cracker, I'm not white. You're a Ritz motherfucker. That's a cracker. That's what it was.
You're pumpernickel because you're dark. Uh-huh. See, you meet people that get offended by that shit, and you meet other people that just laugh it off.
Mm-hmm.
What are the people that laugh it off? Hey, you know, some of the best racial jokes I hear are at my family reunions with the whole Mexican side.
Mm-hmm.
They tell the best Mexican racial jokes. Hey, you know what? We all laugh. Big deal.
Fuck it.
Get a thicker fucking skin. Get over your political correctness. Mm-hmm. Please, because it just pisses me off, and I'm going to piss you off when I say shit.
Well, I said we had a lot of fun.
The N-word, I can see where that can still be kind of derogatory.
No, it's not. How is it derogatory?
I said kind of.
You can't bitch about it.
That's what gets me
with all the slaves. We used to be slaves, this and that. Your asses should be thanking us.
We've all been slaves at one point or another.
I mean, look at it. Every sport around, all the Olympics, everything else, black people dominate. Why is that? We genetically engineered you by making you our slaves. You're the fucking black X-Men. Okay? That's what it is. We made you guys in this superhuman race. Well, we sat on our porches and relaxed and stuff, got fat and lazy.
No.
You guys did the next step in human evolution. So it's used to thank us for making you slaves.
No, we didn't do that. Africa did that. Because everything in Africa wants to kill you and eat you. So you got to be physically fit. You got to be able to outrun that shit. You got to be able to fucking jump. You got to be able to swim. Because a lion will chase you and a cheetah will chase you down and eat you. A fucking monkey will jump up in a tree and fucking chase your ass down to break your neck.
Throw poop at you while he's doing it.
A fucking hippo will kill your ass in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Shit wants to kill you down there. Shit will kill you in Australia.
Uh-huh.
And look how fucked up they are.
I was just like, get over it. You know what?
I think it would be... In the context that it's used, it can be derogatory still.
To a point. But like I said, if you're,
But again,
they use it back and forth. You're in the hood, and they're calling it themselves niggers. It's like... You can't bitch when we do it.
Now, see, I got a few friends on Facebook that are black, and they've changed that. They call them nickas now. They take the G out, put the C in there. Still the same fucking word. He just moved two letters. That's like saying, call us a cracker with a K instead of a C.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't call you cracker with a C. I called you cracker with a K. There's a difference, motherfucker.
It's like Andy with a Y and Andy with an I. I did say we changed the name.
You say Andy with an I, and you see a pissed off woman.
It could be the same.
The stereotype names came around a long time ago. And it's not derogatory unless you take it that way.
Right.
You got this whole new stink started up with the Washington Redskins again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had the name for 40 fucking years. Now they had the big news story with some black referee refuses to see any of their games or work any of their games because he finds it derogatory for the last 6 years. Who cares?
Yeah. It's your problem, not ours.
You know, it's not like it's the Washington Pickaninnies.
True.
Or the Indianapolis Spooks. You started.
<I know. laughs> Oh, shit.
That was a fucking good one.
I don't snort as bad as Rachel does.
I'm a Spooks fan, man. I'm a fucking Spooks fan. That motherfucker move.
See the look on her face when I said she's a drinker and podcast away from a curtain gel sandwich?
No, I was in the back seat. I didn't see that. I just saw her.
She lost it.
I saw her face turn all red.
She got the, like, the old look, the girl, shit, I can't believe you said that. Then she starts laughing, puts her head down, got all embarrassed. And then you're in the back with mayonnaise on both sides. It's going to be fried bologna sandwiches with mayonnaise on both sides.
Was it the look of shock? Oh my god, he said that. Or the look of shock, like, oh my god, they know.
Take it either way.
All right, Rachel, now you're in two podcasts. Uh-huh. You're the subject of two. What's your poison? I'm a hell of a bartender. I can make some good mixed drinks.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, shit. At least they can take some humor.
Mm-hmm.
See, they've got thick skin.
Yeah. They know we're just joking. We don't give a fuck.
No, they don't.
No, not really. But we're not really joking. I mean, we would hit
it. They can take a joke.
Just like a toss. I think I've hit on every single person in the ghost group.
You have. You hit on me, you sick fuck.
Hey, slow night. Go for it.
Go by. Double your odds.
Yeah. Like I said, a hole's a hole when the lights goes out.
I got nothing. I was going to say, you know, stay away from the ones with hair on them, but they don't necessarily shave that. So.
No, not some of the chicks I've been with. Fucking Wookiee looking motherfuckers. I'm telling you.
Spread their legs and go, yeah.
Yeah, like saying, he was telling me he's like, all that he got neutered and shit a while back. And now they got him on. He got fucked up lately. I mean, he had to have open heart surgery and then he had a brain aneurysm and shit like that. So he's all fucked up. And like I said, I used to ride his ass a lot about not working and always quitting and stuff like that. Because, I mean, he would get really good jobs always in like the RV places and they would pay him $16, $17, $18 an hour. But then, you know, he'd work for 2 or 3 months, maybe 6 months, and then he'd either get sick or do, you know, call off and get fired, or they'd, you know, quit, you know, the place would shut down, they'd fill the order. And it's like, you know, I always harp on him, you need to get a good steady job that you can work at, that you can, you know, retire from. And he never listened to me and stuff, and, you know, a lot of times I'd, you know, give him a hard time about it, but like I said, nowadays he can't work. I mean, right after he had that open heart surgery, we went to Walmart. I mean, the dude could barely walk through Walmart. Wheezing and everything else, and it's not gotten too much better. You know, he's still fucked up. And now they got him all these different drugs and shit, and he's like, you know, I can't fuck. He's like, I don't have no appetite to fuck anymore. Because he's with, like I said, he's with Susan right now. And I've told him 100 times, I was like, dude, you just need to date her. She wants to date you. That's why she let you move in and all this other stuff. She's always wanted to be with you. She's a cool chick. You know, you need to date her. And no, you know, she's more of a friend. If I date her and then we break up, then we won't be friends anymore and all this shit. It's like, come on, you know? And now he's like, yeah, I can't even fuck you. I don't have any desire to fuck.
In other words, he wants a friend with benefits and nothing else.
Pretty much.
Yeah, most chicks aren't cool with that.
Yeah. I think she's getting tired of it too, but that's on them.
Well, you know. Fuck them.
And that's what happened with Susan. Like I said, whenever we went over there and fucked Erica, it was, I think Susan got back with her old man or something. Because we didn't talk to her for 4 or 5 years.
I gave you my power cord.
And, like I said, we didn't talk to her for 4 or 5 years. And then all of a sudden, we're out one night, me and Andy driving around. I forget what we were doing. Might have been a night we did D&D or something.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, you know, Susan contacted me on Facebook. And she wanted to go hang out. And I was like, well, fuck, let's go tag team her. So he's like, well, let's try it. He's like, you're going to get us a motel room. He's like, yeah, I'll pay for a motel room if you want to go get her and fuck. So we went by her house and picked her up, and she come out with us, and she gave Andy head in it while we're driving. And, you know, I hear from back, go get us a hotel room. I'm like, okay. So I pull up there to the Motel 6 over there on Lincoln Way, got us a room, got her in there, and like I said, she gave Andy head while I fucked her. So like I said, I nailed it twice. Hi, Susan. Thank you.
That's why you want her to keep dating. That's why you want him to keep dating her.
Fuck yeah. But no, like I said, even without that, I mean, she's just a cool chick. I mean, she's one of the type that, you know, she plays video games. She likes comic books. Her kids are into all that stuff, D&D. You know, I've talked to her a couple times on Facebook, not without even talking about Andy. You know, this other shit going on. She's just a cool chick.
How tight she felt and all that kind of crap, right?
Yeah.
$1 per gallon tank sale, Pet Supplies Plus.
But yeah, like I said, I mean, I've lived with Andy now twice. Again, it's not bad living with him. He's not too hard to get along with. I mean, we both like the same type of shit. We can get along. The problem with living with Andy is one that, you know, he never had the money for the bills most of the time. He was a neat freak. I mean, it was like everything had to be perfect and right in the spot and all that stuff. I'm more laid back. You know, I'm not messy or nothing. But, you know, I'd let stuff go sometimes and Andy come in there bitching, hey, the dishes need to be done. Fuck you, go do them. And after about an hour or two, I'd go in there and do them, you know.
This need done, man. There's gnats.
Never got that bad.
We'll just go get a frog then.
It was cool. I mean, the way we would do it in there is we each had like a plate, a bowl, a cup, and then, you know, our utensils. And as we get done eating, we'd clean. And that worked out pretty well. You know
the easiest way to do it? Foam plates and plasticware. When we did that a lot. Throw that away.
Did that a lot, too. Oh, I got a piss.
I did that a lot when I was single.
I'm going to pause. Be right back. Okay, we're back.
I'm in the car, and you got a hotel room.
Mm-hmm. I just had to ask Jeff where we're at. I got a bad fucking memory.
And I look at him like, what the fuck are you talking about? I was looking at Facebook. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, we've had a lot of fun in our past. Andy's a good guy, you know. For all the being a dick and an asshole and stuff all the time, a lot of times with me, like I said, he's a good friend. He, you know, he watches your back. You know, he's went out on the limb for me several times. If he died, I might actually go to the funeral, not just for the free food. Maybe.
Just make sure he's dead so I can tag his old lady.
Yep. Oh, tell you about the hoe we got.
So you're going to get a little batch of ashes for him too and then fuck his old lady and come in the ashes? There you go.
Hey,
Andy.
That'll work.
Fucking spunked on you one last time. There ain't nothing you can do about it. But
you know, we
butt hurt
so
in
many,
the afterlife.
Me and Andy's tag team so many old ladies and shit. He's never come on me. I've never come on him. I need to do that one time. I'm normally the one that comes first. I just be banging the shit out of him, pull out, and just nut all over him. You know? Oh, it's great, too, you know.
Mean mug him, too.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of times, you know, like, you'll be fucking some chick or whatever. He's like, you know, you can watch, but, you know, she don't want to fuck you. No problem. You know how much fun it is sitting in the corner and jerk off and stuff, and then right when you get ready to come, you, like, get down there and get eye level with him, just stare at him, like, do, like, the mean grunts towards him. Like, just as you come, mean mugging dead in his face, and then just, okay, thanks, I'll be like, go to the bathroom, because you know he's got to sit there and explain to the chick now why I just did that. She's like, what the fuck was that about?
Yeah, you guys are tag team Susan again, just look at her and say, I told you on Facebook I'd mean mug his ass.
You got it in writing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. This is a classic here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I saw that one earlier.
A cheetah in a box. Oh, that's because Brendan posted it.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
We were living over there, like I said, the second apartment we had, second house we had with Nick and all them. When Nick's at home, and we decide we're going to get a hoe. So we go out and pick up a hoe off Michigan Street or whatever, and it's an old chick. She's like probably 50, maybe 60. It's wrinkled and shit. And, you know, Andy's like, you know, do your thing. At least with Andy, he lets me work out the deals. And we'll get into that because Todd's a fucking idiot. And so Andy's like, you know, work your thing. So I get in the back and I negotiate. I'm like, you know, normally most of the time Andy just wanted head. I wanted to fuck. So I'd be like, you know, $40, you give him head, I'll fuck you. You know, we can do it. You know, I can drive while you give him head, then he can drive while I fuck, or we can pull somewhere, whatever you want to do. Well, Andy was real uncomfortable about just pulling off into a side street and fucking. Even though all the vehicles I have tinted windows, so you can't see anything inside the car anyway. So we get this chick, we pick her up, we're driving around, and And Andy's like, well, we got a friend. We got the garage door to his garage. He's like, we can go back there and fuck in the garage. We drive her back to our place, you know, and open up the garage, and we're in there fucking name. We got the digital camera. He's like, do you mind if we take some pictures? She's like, no, go for it. More the better. So you got me and Andy in this back of a van, and the van only has the middle seats because the back seats are out because we got a speaker system in there, stereo and all that stuff. So we got the side door of the van open. We got the lights on the garage on. It's old, like, 60-year-old hooker in there fucking blowing Andy, and I got her, you know, stuffed in the ass, shit like that. Andy's taking pictures and shit. It was great. And then we get done. She's like, do you guys have, like, a napkin or something? We find this old greasy oil rag. Here you go. You can have that.
See? And I will never, ever ask you to show me pictures again, because I know you will.
Yeah, he got to see pictures of a cancer chick. I don't think we've told that story online. I was dating this one chick a while back. Yeah, I saw that one. And,
it's one of Carl's suspenders.
And this chick, she had cancer 2 or 3 times and got over it all the time, you know, the chemo and all that shit. Well, she has really light hair, you know, it's fell out 2 or 3 times. So we call her cancer chick, because I'm insensitive and don't give a fuck. So, I lived with my dad, she lived with her mom. So when we want to fuck a lot of times, what we do is they have this adult emporium. It's an adult bookstore over here in South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
That you can go in, and for $10, you can rent any movie in the store.
It's not the adult emporium anymore.
It's just the emporium, I think. Or Romantics.
Romantics. They made it all gay and woman-y mm-hmm. now. It's not a dude's porn store anymore. Now it's a dildo shop.
Mm-hmm. But you can rent a movie, and they got these little booths that you can go into, and they got like a futon in there, couch, but it doesn't lay back. It's all welded together. And then they got like a big screen TV, and they'll play these movies in there. You can go in the room, lock the doors, whatever. You can fuck. So we started doing that. We would go give $10. We could take the cushion off the futon, lay it on the floor, and fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, she's a fucking moron, because, you know, you're not supposed to be fucking in there. They know you do it, but it's, you know, it's an underlying thing. She'll walk up, can we have booth 3? Those cushions will come off and put it on the floor when we fuck. And she's telling the people that work there.
Yeah, you told me about that.
I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't want to be known that I'm going to fuck you. You know, you're like my dirty little secret, you know. Don't tell them I'm with you. You know, can you go in the room first? I'll come in like 10 minutes later. You know?
Kurt found a chick he's embarrassed to admit he fucks.
No, not really. I don't give a fuck.
No, he sent me fucking pictures and made me gag.
So we're in the room and I'm taking picture because my cousin...
He showed Rachel's picture of this last weekend.
Got her sick.
Made her sick. She gagged and almost puked.
So we're sitting there, we're fucking and stuff, and we get
you're
done
nasty
fucking.
Nasty bastard.
And I'm like, I'm snapping pictures on my phone, and she like bends over, grabs her ass, like spreads her pussy open. I mean, you can drive a fucking semi in there. So I'm snapping pictures of it and shit. Well, I tell, like, it's like the next day I send Jeff a text, like, dude, I just fuck cancer chick. I got nudie pictures of her. And he's like, well, send them on over. I want to see them. Well, I forget about it. So it's like 3 months later. I'm going through my Facebook, and they pop up on my sync photos. Fuck it, here, I'll send them on over. So I send them to Jeff. No text, no nothing, just 3 photos. Jeff opens up the page.
On my computer. He sent them to me through Facebook. Not on my phone. Through Facebook. So I'm like, what the hell are you sending me pictures of this? Because it says images.
Mm-hmm.
So I click on it. Here's this big... red gaping hole. Not pink, mind you. It's red.
I just tore that shit up. Little me's running down her leg.
I didn't see that part. I didn't look long enough to see that part. All I did, I opened it up and she's bent over. And it looked like you could fit your head in there and have earmuffs on the side as a hat.
So we're at an investigation Saturday and
this
we're talking
like
about
a,
it.
A nasty fisting accident.
And he brings those pictures up and Rachel's standing there. He's like, oh, he'll show you. So I pop him up on my phone. I was like, here. She won't look. She's no, no, no. She's turning her head. She's already feeling sick. So Jeff's standing there talking to her.
That's because we just described the hat episode.
Mm-hmm. So Jeff's standing there talking to her, and it's, you know, I wait a minute or so. I walk up behind him just over his shoulder. I hold the phone up with the picture again. She looks and sees it, just turns her head. She's going to throw up. Got so mad about that. I was like, I
she had to leave for a little bit and go to the corner store to get something to drink because she was not feeling well.
The image is now forever burned into her. At least I didn't show her the little me picture.
She kicked me in the nuts earlier, so that was deserved.
Yes, she did.
It was accidental, but...
And I had it been 2 hours over.
Had it been anybody else, I'd have been laughing my ass off.
I was 2 hours over, and all I hear is, if you wanted to touch it, all you had to do was ask. Like, what the
hell? As I'm bent over, barely able to breathe, if you wanted to touch it, all you had to do was ask. And he walks around the corner to see what the hell's going on at that point. I'm bent over. What you do, kick you in the nuts?
Yes.
And I'm still bent over trying to catch my breath. Because it was one of them light glancing blows.
Mm-hmm.
And those are worse than a straight up hard kick. Because they just hurt. Make me choke up talking about it.
Ow. Yeah, one of these times I'll have to bring up the ET picture for. Cut you off guard with that.
Oh, good lord.
I sit there, I got a picture on my phone of me. I'm down in the basement and I just got done jerking off. And cancer chick was like, this back when we were dating, she kept sending me photos of like her pussy and stuff, and I was like, it really don't help me at all because it's nasty looking. I was like, I'd rather watch porn, but
it is nasty looking.
She's like, send me a picture of your dick.
I have a 60-inch TV I watch porn on occasion, and it still don't look as bad as that did on my 20-inch screen.
I not joking, I've been fucking cancer chick before, and I told her to shut up that I'm trying to concentrate. Because she's fucking lashing. Oh my god, oh my god, you just feel so good. Pound that pussy. My pussy's throbbing. My pussy's throbbing. I'm like,
really?
I know I'm not that good. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I got a little fucking dick and I'm coming 2 minutes. I know it's not that great.
But look at who she sleeps with.
Yeah.
A homeless guy.
I guess. You know, so I was like, okay. You know, that one time I was like, can you be quiet a minute? I'm trying to concentrate. Fucking 2 more pumps, I was done. But no, I had, like I said, I had that picture. She had wanted me to send her a picture of my dick. So I sent her, you know, that one. I'm laying in the bed in the basement, my dick straight up. Well, we're at the bar for, when our buddy Todd, when he died, we did a memorial service at the bar for him because he was drunk. Invited all his friends out. We're all sitting around. It was the first night I actually fucked cancer chick. And she's there, and Andy's there, and Bobby and a few of our other friends. So, this is the middle of the bar. I sent Andy a picture of my dick. I think I wrote I love you or something on the bottom of it. He's like, he gets a picture and says, I love you, a picture of my cock. And he's like, what the fuck? I'm not joking.
Well, you know, there's next probably... time you do that to him, just look at him and say, you said you'd rather suck it than kiss me.
Yeah. I'm not joking. There's probably 60 people in this bar. Within the next hour, every person in that bar has seen my dick. Because Andy's like, hey, see this? That's him. Pointing me out. This picture of my dick on his phone with I love you underneath it.
So, you send him a picture of your dick with I love you.
And he starts showing
everybody. What the fuck? And then he shows it to everybody like he's proud of it.
Yeah.
Well, you found yourself a keeper, too.
Uh-huh. That's what I said. Me and Andy's, that's the longest relationship either one of us has ever been in. Yeah, it was a night. They kept trying to get me to stay at the bar, and it was like fucking 1 in the morning. And I had already paid for a motel room for me and cancer chick. I got a jacuzzi and all that shit. Like, stay till it closes, stay till it closes. I was like, dude, I want to go get laid. Fuck you. You know? Yeah, cancer chick is all fucked up. She's back to dating the homeless guy again. Making all posts on her webpage about, you know... anything worth having is worth fighting for, and you're going to always be in fights. You know, it's worth building and holding on to what you love and all this shit. It's like, yeah, dude, he's a homeless man that can't hold a job. That probably shits in a bag. I will stick with my hose.
Well, I believe we reached the end of this episode.
Oh, no. We got to do Fuck You, Carl, part 2. Oh, okay. God, the dude's an asshole.
So then we probably need to end this one.
Yeah. And then we'll go ahead and end this podcast. We're doing another little special edition, a little 15-20 minute one here. The Fuck You, Carl, part 2, and we'll come back.
Fuck you, Carl.
I fucking hate that man. Well, have fun. It's been the Kurt and Jeff show for this week. I'm Kurt.
I'm Jeff.
Have fun.
Thank you, Carl.
climbing a mountain that keeps getting higher, playing a game where no one's supposed to win.